Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 178 of Nerd Pride Radio. 178. So I'm looking all over for nerd facts about this week's episode number, and Eli finally says, "What number are you looking for?" And I say, 178, and he replies, "You mean like our troop number?" He looked so disappointed in me. So, yes. Exactly like our troop number. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on.
How are you doing today?
I am awesome. Thank you, Lisa. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week, Meacham Industries. Before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wicked Wrong! Alright, apparently when I was talking about how awesome Roll20 is last week, I said Roll20.com when obviously it's at Roll20.net. So if anyone went out looking for it and was confused, I hope you knew how to use Google and get that fixed because I screwed up. Also, Kyle reminded me that somewhere back, I said Zsa Zsa Gabor was on Green Acres, probably when I was talking about the Deadpool and somebody who got points for her. And Zsa Zsa wasn't on Green Acres. That was her sister, Ava Gabor. So that was my mistake as well. Mike was wrong twice. All right. Also, before I get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, I got something else. That's right. It's a little bit of feedback. All right. The other day, I got a text from Emily. No. I play a feedback noise. That's not. That's my wife is very funny over there. Anyway, I got a text from Emily, Aiden's friend that I talked about a couple weeks ago. Well, a month ago, whatever it was. And anyway, Emily sends me a message to say, where's my feedback? There it is. Says, I was listening to the podcast and you keep avoiding saying the F in F, Mary, Kill. You know, you could just call it bed, wed, or behead instead. Ooh, I like that. So, I'm going to try that. I don't know if I'll remember it because people usually write it out as FMK or F, Mary, Kill when they send it to me. But I will try and remember bed, wed, or behead because I like that a lot. Everything rhymes and it still expresses exactly what we want to say. And then that way, I don't have to come up with any more euphemisms. So I like that one. All right. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, first up on the master list, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
That's right. We had community game night. Guess what I got to play? Yeah, that's right. I got to play Mars Needs Cows. It was really good, guys. I'm telling you. I'm really excited about this game because first, for those of you who aren't aware, my friend Kaz, who has been I've known him online for, over a decade now. And we've worked together on some stuff before. And we've gamed together many times. And I'm going to get to meet him in the flesh for the first time at Gen Con this year, which is so exciting. But he has designed a game called Mars Needs Cows. And it is a beautiful little board game. And essentially, you got nine little pasture tiles out there. The pastures are all full of cows. And you play aliens, Martians, who come buzzing over the fields trying to abduct cows. And whoever gets the most points by the end of the game wins. And it's super fun and super quick, and it was really, really cool. I played it at game night with my son Aiden and then a couple of eighth graders who are actually both nephews of mine who showed up. Eli couldn't make it, of course, to game night because of Morp, because he was at the big dance, which, by the way, for those of you who were worried, he was really nervous about it ahead of time. And then after the dance was over, he went to a friend's house, and they had a big sleepover party with a bunch of guys. And he texted me right after the dance and said, best night ever. So they had a really good time. So it was very good for them. But anyway, we were there at game night and we tested out Mars Needs Cows, and it was just really good. The way the game plays out, it starts off, you get everything laid out and you start buzzing out there and you pick up a couple cows. And then once you start solving missions and start get points for them, every time you solve a mission, you get an upgrade to your ship. And so by the end of the game, I, of course, sucked. I came in last place. I got stuck on – I had to gather four spotted cows, and I should have just traded the mission in and done a different one. But God, I thought, how tough can it be? Look, there's all the spotted cows right there. I just need to go pick them up. I couldn't roll for crap. So I was stuck. But everybody else, they're like passing mission after mission. I mean, Aiden passed literally four in one turn just because – yeah, I mean, just kept laying them down. And so every time you pass a mission, you get a new upgrade to your ship. And so by the end, they've got all these special properties to their ships on all the awesome stuff that they can do. So, you know, they get an extra turn if they roll sixes. They get extra dice for doing this. They get to move an extra space or move their captive humans extra spaces. Or they get to – I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that piles on. And it's that kind of fiddly rules bit stuff that – kids just love the idea, like in Pokemon or like in Pathfinder, building up your characters, or it's you just keep kind of adding stuff as you go until by the end you're driving around this fully tricked out spaceship that's doing all sorts of amazing things. And yet, even for all of us being the first time we were playing, I was still looking up some of the rules as we went, and even with that, moved really quick and everyone caught on super fast. There was nothing confusing because all the cards were right there in front of them, so they knew everything that they had, and it was really good. There was also there's some broken spots in it. There's some things that just – even though it played smooth, it looked awkward when you had to do it, but it still played out really well. I mean, Kaz is working. This is, as he just said, the fourth time someone's playtested this game, and it worked amazingly well for all that. So he's got all sorts of stuff that he's working on, and he's going to send out some revised materials for the second edition or third edition or whatever it is he's doing for his playtests. And I am so looking forward to playing some more of this. So, I mean, I'll keep playing this version until he gets me new rules and new stuff, because we were thrilled with this version. Those kids were so excited when they got done. They, if we had had time, they would have played again immediately because it was that much fun. So, I just think Mars Needs Cows is super cool. I'm so glad that it's coming from someone I know and someone I like, and I get to brag about it and go, hey, that's my buddy. That's my buddy Kaz. So it's really cool for me. So I am excited about it. Hopefully we get a Kickstarter for it soon. Whoops, sorry about that quick break there. We had a visitor. But anyway, like I say, I cannot wait until he gets this into a final format and hopefully gets a Kickstarter put together. And you guys know that I will continue to give you updates and let you know what's going on with it, because I'm super excited. So anyway, also while we were at game night, just an interesting story. There was a new couple of people there. They came in together, Gene and Wright, and I don't know how the two of them were connected to each other, but they showed up together and they were looking around for games to play. And so I invited them to play some Battlesheep with me and Noah, because Noah loves Battlesheep. And they had a good time with it, and man, they took it really seriously. And by the second game, their strategy was good. I mean, they were playing hard at it, and they were both very, very intellectual, very thoughtful, and their very sophisticated sense of humor. Anyway, so I then had to take off because I wanted to go playtest Mars Needs Cows, and so I knew I was going to have to abandon them. And there was just kind of nothing really open at the moment, and then so they were sort of looking at games. And I said, well, you know, if you want an interesting challenge that's just, you know, head to head for two people, I got out Resistor for them from Cardboard Fortress Games. And Resistor it's a great one for just this head to head challenge. And so I explained to them the rules and you know, walked them through the first couple of plays, and then I took off for a little bit. And when I came back, they were still at it and apparently having a really good time with it. And as I watched them later, I started noticing that, because the way the Resistor cards are set up, you guys have never played, but I have, and I can tell you what they look like. They have little circuits on them, so the cards, when you lay them out, are supposed to line up along these circuits. But the circuits aren't centered on the cards for very good game design reasons. And so as I'm watching, they don't even realize they're doing it, but Gene would lean in regularly and line up all the cards so that all the cards are even, which means now their circuits aren't lined up. And then a little bit later, Wright would lean over and he'd adjust them all back so that the circuits are lined up. And neither one of them seemed to notice that the other one was doing it or even was bothered by it, but she would adjust them one way and then he'd adjust them back, and they kept going. And finally I started laughing and I pointed it out to him. I'm like, wow, this is really good, because your OCD is making you line up the cards and your OCD is making you line up the circuits, and you guys are really at odds on this one. And they looked a little stunned for a moment, and then finally they both got the humor of it. And Wright says, yeah, but which way is the correct way? I said, oh, your OCD is correct. He's like, huh, I'm right again. So it was just a cute little moment, and I really enjoyed that. So, and if you guys haven't bought Resistor, go out and buy a copy of Resistor. It's a really good game. I think that's all I've got for my gaming table. Let's see. What else have I been doing for games? Oh, for phone games, by the way, I decided I wanted a good tower defense game. I haven't played a good tower defense in a long time. And so I looked it up, and the most popular tower defense game is called Kingdom Rush, and I can see exactly why. I've had Kingdom Rush loaded, just the first version. Apparently there's later versions of it that you can pay for, but the first one, the free one, is really good. I love Kingdom Rush. So I've been having a good time with it. I play maybe one round a day now. When I first got it, I played through a whole bunch of stuff right away because it was easy, and now it's really super hard. So I just play one round a day, maybe two. And if I don't get by, I don't get by, you know, and then we'll try again tomorrow. But Kingdom Rush is really awesome. So, all right. Anyway, enough of the gaming table. Let's move on to, a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. Actually, this probably could have been more of a fingertips, really, because it's just quick. The word evangelism, a couple times I've heard it, and as I think about the literal meaning of the word evangelism, I thought, you know what? That's what I do with nerd stuff. It's my job to just bring nerd stuff to everybody. I want to share all the stuff that I enjoy. I just want to take it to everybody else. And so every time I think it, I think of the word nerdvangelism, which I don't think will catch on, but it just sticks in my head. And so I finally, after like the fourth time that I thought in my head, oh yeah, nerdvangelism. So I had to write it down. Now I've shared it. Now it's out there. I can let this one go. All right. See? Done. That was it. All right. Next up.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
Okay, hold on. We'll get to the science corner in just a moment. During the musical interlude there, my wife had to interject and say, well, you know, really, nerdvangelism, I mean, it's more like a cult. I mean, really, I didn't really care much for any nerd stuff until I met you. And she's now, you know, if nerds were selling flowers at the airport, I'd be selling flowers at the airport. So my job is done. All right. Anyway, now pretend that the music just played and you just heard William Shatner singing. Okay, ready? And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Okay, I got two things. First up, I watch a YouTube channel called Numberphile. And so in the recommended for me list from Numberphile comes up a video about Pascal's triangle. And it was, you know, like 10 minutes long. And I'm like, I don't know. I've seen so much stuff on Pascal's triangle, and I love Pascal's triangle. Don't get me wrong. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Pascal's triangle is the, you start with a one at the top, and then the elements below it, you form like a pyramid. And so each element below is just the sum of the two numbers above it. And so the first row is a 1, and then the second row is 1-1, and then the third row is 1-2-1. And it builds down from there. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go look up Pascal's triangle if you have any interest, because it's fascinating. And there's all sorts of things about Pascal's triangle, about how lines add up and the patterns that are developed in it and this kind of stuff. And so here I am thinking that I've seen Pascal's triangle a million times. Do I really want to spend 10 minutes watching it? But yeah, what the heck? Yeah, I like Pascal's triangle. I'll watch the video. So I watch, and she goes through a whole bunch of stuff that, yeah, I already knew that, and I already knew that. And at the end, she says, yo, you know what would be really cool? What would be really cool is if we could take a nerd staple like Pascal's triangle and combine it with one of the most famous sequences in mathematics, Fibonacci sequence. And she said, wouldn't that be cool if they went together? And I thought, God, that would be cool. And then sure enough, she shows me where Fibonacci sequence is encoded in Pascal's triangle. God, am I a super nerd? That excites me. It was really cool. It was Fibonacci sequence. Also, for those of you who aren't familiar, look it up. Look it up. It would be way easier than me explaining it, but it's essentially you start with the number 1, and then each element in the list is just the previous two numbers added together. So the first one is a 1, the second one is a 1, then the third number is those last two added together, so you get a 2, and then you add 1 and 2, and you get 3, 2 and 3, you get 5, et cetera, et cetera. And if you take the numbers in Pascal's triangle and you draw lines through them at this weird slant. So it's not exactly, it's not straight across and it's not a regular diagonal, but it's kind of in between the two. And sure enough, nice even lines that pass exactly through numbers that all add up to Fibonacci sequence. I was so floored. Oh, it made me so happy. I can't even tell you how beautiful math can be sometimes, because that was just amazing. So anyway, okay. I've geeked out on my math. I'm so sorry. The other thing I had while I was in the science corner is I thought, hey, you guys, you got any good science podcasts that you guys listen to that you think I would be interested in? Because I love good science podcasts, but not generally the traditional news, science news podcasts. I mean, there's ones from NPR, and there's ones from the other NPR, the lesser NPR. There are ones from NPR and other news agencies where they give you the Science Minute, or they give you, you know, a summary of cool science stories from the last week or whatever. And I've tried all of those that I find, the ones that show up at the top of the most popular lists. And I never quite enjoy those. I really like the ones that have more, I like ones that have hosts with some real personality that can really sell it to me. So, for example, I listen to not one, but two podcasts about linguistics. I listen to Lexicon Valley and The Illusionist, both of which, wonderful podcasts. I have told you guys how many times about how much I love the Astronomy Cast. I listen to No Such Thing as a Fish, which is really more of a trivia show, but they have a lot of science thrown in there. Flash Forward I listen to. It's really good speculative science, focus on futurism, possible futures. Infinite Monkey Cage. Oh, Infinite Monkey Cage. I just wish it was more than, you know, 12 episodes a year. They only do, you know, two series, you know, so they do a 6-episode run twice a year. And that's all I get out of them. And it's really physics heavy, but with a fair dose of metaphysics thrown on top of it. And they're really funny and they're entertaining. I love Infinite Monkey Cage. But, there have been others that I've found, but they've never had a long run. I found a couple of really good dinosaur podcasts that both had very short runs, but were very entertaining. So, you know, if you guys have other science stuff that you listen to, well, I mean, for that matter, if you have any podcasts that you listen to that you think I'd be interested in, certainly throw them my way. But specifically, right now I'm in the mood for some new science. So if you guys have them, throw them at me. I am more than happy to check them out. So that's it for my science corner. Science fiction double feature. Science fiction. That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but, well, okay, in this case, just one. But normally two, but this time, just one. Movie reviews for the same low price. No, I haven't seen Get Out yet. Just stop asking me. I'm super excited. It's coming up. I'm hoping we have another week of it at the theater here. Maybe we'll go out. I know it's here all week this week. Maybe it goes away Friday. We can probably go out this week. Oh, maybe the cheap Tuesday night. We'll see. Anyway, so, hopefully I'm seeing that this week. But What I did see, I got to watch a new time travel movie, which made me super happy. It was on Amazon Prime, and it is called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel. And this sucker is just a straight-up British time travel comedy. It stars Chris O'Dowd he was the white guy from IT Crowd, and he was the love interest cop dude in Bridesmaids. So that's Chris O'Dowd. And then also, Anna Faris was in it. And I love Anna Faris in anything, so she was awesome. And this was just a really well put together time travel movie. It was really funny, really well put together. I enjoyed it. There was one huge flaw in this movie that, I mean, most time travel movies have at least one huge flaw. And I kept waiting by the end of the movie, waiting for them to sort it out and explain to me how would anyone have known that part? How would they have known? All right. And it just never came up. It never happened. They didn't explain it. No, it left me hanging. But other than that one little bit, the rest of the movie was really funny and really well put together. I enjoyed the crap out of it. So if you have not seen Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, I'm guessing you haven't. And if you have Amazon Prime, which you may or may not, it's right there for you. Go watch. It was really cool. Because, yeah, it's, you know, I was trying to think of which time travel movies, because I love time travel movies, which time travel movie doesn't have a fatal flaw in it? And I'm thinking, I mean, Time Crimes, to me, I love Time Crimes, Spanish movie. And I think Time Crimes is probably the best constructed time travel movie I'm aware of. I love that movie. And I think it is, the time travel is perfectly done. I mean, it covers all its bases and it does a lot of really convoluted stuff and makes sense of it by the end. It's cool. I think Primer might also do time travel correctly, but who can really tell? I've only watched Primer once, and I think it would take about 6 or 7 viewings for me to sort out the spaghetti that is that plot. But I think Primer does it right. But nah, man, I'd have to do some more experimentation with it. I was trying to think of the other ones because Safety Not Guaranteed, but that one's not even. Well, I can't tell you anything about Safety Not Guaranteed, but it does do it right. It's good. Happy Accidents is really good. Oh God, if you've never seen Happy Accidents, Lisa watched that one almost by accident while I was on vacation and just insisted that I had to see it with her when I got back. And I did. And if you haven't seen Happy Accidents, it's Marissa Tomei and, not Vince Vaughn, the other Vince, what's the guy from Men in Black? What is his name? He was on the Law and Order Criminal Intent. He was, yeah, I can't remember his name. It should be right there. Anyway, it's the guy who's not Vince Vaughn, but I always confuse with Vince Vaughn. And now that I've got Vince Vaughn's name in my head, I'm never going to remember. But anyway, Happy Accidents was so good. So good. Other than that, I think most time travel movies I know of, look, Back to the Future. Everyone should watch Back to the Future. It's awesome. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Looper. These are all spectacular, but all of them have, you know, glaring time travel problems. So it's what, Lisa? Vincent D'Onofrio. Oh, thank you, Lisa. Oh, that was killing me. You helped all of my listeners because all of them have been yelling it at their device right now, going, Vincent D'Onofrio, you moron. Ah, thank you. Yes. No, I got it. Thank God my wife's here. But anyway, hey, if you guys have any really good time travel movies that I haven't listed off here, and I'll also list off 12 Monkeys, I think is an excellent time travel movie. Groundhog's Day and Edge of Tomorrow are not, in my mind, true time travel, but it is, they do play with time, and they both have the same basic premise. And I love both of those movies, by the way. Groundhog's Day is maybe my favoriteest movie of all time, but certainly within the top 5. And Edge of Tomorrow, I think, is brilliantly done. I love that movie. But if you guys have any good time travel movies, recommend those to me too, because I will watch any time travel movie. And don't tell me anything in the Terminator series. I mean, I get that those technically are time travel movies. Don't tell me Star Trek IV. I want ones that are primarily about time travel and handled well. And yeah, I know. If I go listen to D-Rod over at Angry Geeks Versus, he will tell me that Terminator does it well. Well, most of the Terminator series does it really well. It's because it's his favorite movie series of all time. I've seen the first three in the Terminator series, and I'm just, as much as I love the original Terminator, and I like Terminator 2, I'm just not into it. But if you guys have any recommendations for time travel movies or time travel TV shows, I suppose, although it's really harder to do when you stretch it out, over something extended, then you wind up with things like Quantum Leap and, stuff like that, which is, you know, Quantum Leap was a good show for what it was. But, you know, if you got recommendations, I'm all ears. Okay. So I paused just now because I'm about to go into the Pod-O-Matic because we're done with the meticulously planned portion of the podcast. And my wife has this bit where during the silences, she likes to make weird noises off mic. And so I said, hey, it's paused now. You can make all the weird noises you want. And I can't do an imitation of it. But I swear to God, it was Thermion from Galaxy Quest. I swear to God, she was speaking Thermion, and it was dead on. And so I mentioned that to her, and now she's slightly embarrassed that yes, she really is in the cult. There's no getting out for her now. So anyway, enough of that. It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic, seriously dudes, is about whatever you want it to be. My first number here is 09. 09 is, it's from Kaz, speak of the devil. And Kaz says, what was the last frivolous thing you bought? Frivolous thing I bought. Probably paying for a pack of magic cards for Aiden. We were at the store. He was nice enough to accompany me to do some grocery shopping. And I'm sure there were plenty of places he would rather be than out grocery shopping with his dad. But he kept me company. And so at the end, I bought him whatever the expansion packs are. So I bought him one of those because he asked nicely and he was good enough to accompany me. So that was pretty frivolous. But other than that, I don't know. Or is it, I don't know, buying donuts? Is that frivolous? See, my car, seriously, did I need that much car? Come on. I could have gotten by with a $2,000 car. Could have gotten by with a $500 junker, right? Yeah, this was way too frivolous. It's probably the magic cards. I'm pretty sure. 21 comes from, 21 is from Ronster. And Ron says, have you ever eaten parsley? Yes. And then he says, why? I assume I ate parsley somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16, and it would have been as a dare. I'm sure it was me and either one of my brothers or my cousin or a friend, and we were at dinner somewhere, and I'm sure it was a dare or goofing around or something like that. And I remember eating it and thinking that it was kind of gross and kind of bland and really didn't make any difference. So, but I'm sure that's why. 51. 51 comes from, there we go. 51 is from, I'm going to say Sarah Beth. I'm guessing. Totally guessing. Ready? No, it's from Kyle. Oh, that should have been my first guess because I haven't had Kyle here. All right. Kyle says, what is your favorite vegetable? And don't say a grain. My favorite vegetable is peas, sweet peas. I love peas. He says, I am partial to sweet potatoes, but maybe lima beans. Wait, maybe broccoli. What's yours? Peas. I love sweet peas. In fact, I keep, little cups of peas at work so that during my lunch, because usually I don't eat much for lunch. It's something tiny, you know, something just to give me a little bit of protein. And then usually I'll open up one of those cups of peas and throw that thing back because I love peas. So there you go. Next up, 93. These are all quick. 93 is, there it is. It's from Ronster again. And Ron says, In what school system are bears a problem? I'm going to say schools of salmon. That would be a problem. Or potentially, schools of bees. Do bees have schools? Because that would be a problem. Or any school that has to compete against a team who has the bears as their mascot. So my wife has just brought over her computer where she has pulled up a list of schools that have bears as mascots. So anyone who has to compete against Northside High School, Skyline High School, the University of Montana at Missoula. See, these are all places where their competitors have a problem with bears. There you go. And in all of these cases, it is important that teachers be allowed to open carry just in case. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? 64. 64 is? Oh, there it is. It's from Kaz again. Hey, Kaz. Kaz says, I don't know how often you bake. Tell us if you bake for your family and what your favorite thing to bake is. I don't bake often, but I like making cookies. I mean, cookies are nice and easy. Noah and I just made chocolate chip butterscotch chip cookies for his birthday treat at school. That was cool. And sometimes I'll do cream cheese bars. I know how to make cream cheese bars. I've followed that recipe enough times that I finally have that one right. I don't bake very often. So, but yeah, probably just cookies. I like making cookies. That's actually fun. Peppernut cookies. I love making peppernut cookies. Eventually it gets tedious because the recipe we have for peppernut cookies, if you've never had a peppernut, I mean, they're just little, you know, maybe an inch across, little round cracker type cookies that taste like licorice. And, the recipe we have, I get anywhere from 800 to 1,000 cookies out of a single recipe. So as much fun as I have making them and as cool as it is to have buckets of peppernuts to take, cause we'll make them for Lisa's dad for his birthday. But also I'll bring some to work or whatever else. And I like sharing them with people. But yeah, by the time you get to the, you know, 15th, 20th tray of them, you're getting a little tired of them. So, but it's still fun. 79 is, it's from Kyle. And Kyle says, here's a throwaway idea that someone can steal. You rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay. A live improv show where every week you play a group of improv performers made up of the characters in a genre show, i.e. Futurama, He-Man, the Transformers. Can I get a suggestion for a location from the human audience? A vet's office. Did I hear vet's office? Okay. Another suggestion as to why we're there. Oh, we're getting Ookla the Mock fixed. Okay. That is a great idea. Okay, I'm following you. It took me a minute because it's hard for me to read and process at the same time. My comprehension skills are terrible. And all right, so each week you are improvising as the characters from a show. So your base character, as a base character, is one of the characters from that show, and everyone's from the same show. And then it's all of them, how they would react if they were running an improv night. I get it. All right, that's pretty cute, man. So there, it's a throwaway idea that anyone can steal. On a scale of 1 to 10, I actually give that – well, I mean, do you want me to rate it as an idea overall or as an idea for an improv troupe? Because if I were an improv troupe, that's like an 8.5 to a 9. That's awesome. As an overall look of all the things I could do, I decide I want to do this particular bit of improv. It's like a 6.5. I mean, it's pretty good, right? Maybe even 7. I like the idea. And since I personally, I'm one of the people that likes improv, I think I would enjoy that. I would enjoy watching that. I think that would be really funny if you had a weekly show to go to and you know that every week when you show up, they're going to be performing as a different group. I would love going to that. That would be awesome if I lived in, you know, a part of the country where, you know, regular improv shows were a thing that I could go to. That would be really cool. 36 is, that's the noise I make when I'm stalling for time. 36, it's Humongous. Hey, Humongous. Will you promote the global phenomenon Thundar Thursday on your podcast? Well, since Kyle just mentioned Ookla the Mock, how fortuitous. Yeah, I love Thundar Thursday. I was doing Thundar Thursday from the Nerd Pride Facebook page on a regular basis, and now I've kind of petered out. But now he's doing it for us, and so I keep trying to share them. But every time I see a Thundar Thursday and I try and share it from Nerd Pride, it tells me that the permissions aren't set and I'm not allowed to share. So I should just be copying and pasting and reposting, but I haven't been doing that. But yeah, Thundar Thursday. Every Thursday, he just posts some pictures from Thundar the Barbarian. I love that. And Thursday is spelled with two R's, just like the end of Thundar. So I don't know. I get a huge kick out of that. So. And if Aiden were here, I'll say it for him. Thundar Thursday. Oh, wait, you mean He-Man? No, not He-Man. Damn it. Okay. The number is 79. And 79 is one that we just did from Kyle. Darn it. I should have known that. 15. 15 comes from... There it is. 15 comes from Ronster. And Ron says... At last, the Nerd Pride radio shirts have been ordered, but contrary to your desires, it says, how awesome is Mike Jones on the back instead of how awesome is DM Darks? What do you do with them? Well, we already have our shirts that say DM Darks. So personally, I would wear the crap out of that thing because I'm an egomaniac. True narcissist right here. So what do you do with them? Give them to your friends and family? Send them all to Kyle? Distribute them to NPR subscribers or donate them rather than feeling like a narcissist. Whoa, wait a minute. You presume donate them rather than feeling like a narcissist. You presume that I would think that's a bad thing. No, this is all about me because I like hearing my voice and I love people telling me how awesome I am. Why else would I do this? Obviously, this works for me. I would be thrilled to have shirts that said, how awesome is Mike Jones? As long as it still has the NPR logo on it somewhere. I mean, at some point, you know, it's got to mention, you know, the podcast and all that. Otherwise, if that's all it said is how awesome is Mike Jones, yeah, I'd still wear it and I'd still hand it out to people. But, you know, still, it would be nicer if it mentioned the podcast in it. 34. 34, dun, 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 is up. Oh, there it is. It's from Kaz. Hi, Kaz. Kaz says, would you prefer to fight one horse-sized duck or 20 duck-sized horses? I would definitely rather fight 20 duck-sized horses. That is so much easier. Look, have you ever fought a duck-sized duck? That sucker is not pleasant. All right. And that's a duck-sized duck. No, seriously. You go run around in the pen and you try and round up 8 ducks, for example, and see how far you get. You give me a horse-sized duck, I am running the other way as fast as I can. There's no way I'm tangling with a horse-sized duck. I mean, seriously, miniature horses, tiny horses? Oh, I can handle them. I can easily handle them, even if they want to get rough with me. I mean, a duck-sized horse. I mean, what are we talking? We're talking like an 8-pound horse? Ugh, I'll kick that sucker out of here. That's not a problem. But ducks are scary, dude. I mean, yeah, not as bad as a goose and turkeys. Turkeys are rough. Oh, but ducks are pretty bad. I would not screw with a duck. Chickens you can get. Chickens you can round up. That I ain't scared of a chicken, but a duck will take you. They'll fight. Number 11. 11 is from... It's from Kyle. Kyle says, rank your Pathfinder party's characters in order of indispensable to disposable. Well, that's mean. Why would I do that? That is so terrible. Because I mean, we play without characters on a regular basis. I mean, people who, you know, we're all adults with busy schedules. And so there are people who don't show up quite a bit. And so, I mean, look, most disposable, sadly, I'm going to have to say it's Ilion because he's the one, you know, Dave is the one who doesn't show up most often. He's the one that we're missing most often. And so we've kind of, as a group, we've learned to accommodate that. And we've just learned to get around without him if we have to. So we know how to deal with it when he's not there. But even then, I mean, disposable, dude, that's just mean. That's, I mean, it's never easy to be playing short a character or two, but we've learned how to do that one if we have to. And also, similarly, we've learned how to do, without the paladin sometimes because, occasionally Bill will be missing as well. So it happens. But again, man, we need our frontline fighters, and that's who they are. When it comes to frontline fighters, I mean, you want to talk indispensable? I mean, Phoebe's character, Dwyn is our heavy hitter. Dwyn is the one that does the serious damage up front. She's the one that is going to take a giant out at the knees. And I mean, no bones about it. She is good at what she does. But if we have all the other fighters there, you know, we can get by without Dwyn if we have to. We can get by without anybody. But, you know, it also depends on the situation. So, if we get into a situation where we need to be picking some locks and doing some stealthy thievery stuff, you know, Ilion can sub in a pinch, but he's not a match on the thieving skills for Kay. Kay Liana is our elven thief sorcerer. And, I mean, she's more of a specialist in that stuff. So again, you know, we can get by without anybody if we have to, but man, we just prefer not to. So that's all I'm saying. And I don't know. Like I say, I know we've learned to get by without Dave, but that's no insult to you, Dave. I know you're listening, and I'm sorry to say it like that. Although, you know what? He wouldn't even argue with me. He wouldn't. That's so sad. All right. Anyway, I'm going to move on from this question because I'm just stammering. 37 is, let's see, 37 is from Master. Hey, Master. Master says, what is your favorite type of food? Mine is Italian. I don't know. American food. I mean, honestly, I like nothing better than going into a diner or something and just ordering a grilled cheese sandwich. I love a grilled cheese sandwich and fries. Oh, that's awesome stuff. I like burgers. I like fries. I like American food. I have no problem with any of that. So that would be my favorite type. But you know, I like lots of things, but yeah, American food straight up. 58. You know, if you had asked me a couple months ago, well, a couple of years ago, there was a time when Italian might have been my top pick, but I don't know what happened. I've gotten kind of tired of Italian lately. For some reason, just the thought of marinara, look, it's good. I enjoy it. But it's just not top of my list anymore. I don't know. And 58's one we've already done, so. 99. I know that one's fresh. Let's roll all the way to the bottom of the list. And 99 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, oh my God, this is amazing. He-Man versus Thundar. Nobody's allowed in the fight. Who wins? Oh, this is great. Three Thundar questions in the same episode. All right, He-Man versus Thundar is Thundar, no question. There's not even a challenge here because Thundar is an actual warrior who actually knows how to use a sword, whereas He-Man is really nothing but a roided out pretender. I mean, honestly, look at that build. That's nothing but steroids. And sure, he's big and he's strong, but I'm not counting on him to have any skill. I honestly, he's overly reliant on that sword and he doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. There's no way he's going to stand up to Thundar. So, I'm calling that one. That one was easy. Number 12. And number 12 goes to, there it is. It's Kyle again. Kyle says, when is the last time you ate cotton candy? Ooh, I don't get it. What's the appeal? Yeah, the last time I ate cotton candy would have been the last time we went to the circus, which was just over a year ago. So last summer of 2015. Oh, God, a year and a half ago. We were at the circus, and we ordered cotton candy for one of the kids, wanted cotton candy. And so I tried some of it then. And yeah, I don't get it. It's you're eating sugar, which, you know, who doesn't like sugar? But it's just sticky and messy and kind of gross, and you hate buying it for a kid because you know no matter what, they're going to walk away with cotton candy all over their face and their fingers, and it's disgusting. Blech. I don't get it. And that's the last time we went to the circus, and it was I don't know. It was kind of I mean, there were some cool parts of the circus. There were some cool acts and some cool stuff going on, but then there was also some stuff where it's like, yeah, you know, maybe some of these animals don't live the best life being in the circus and on the road. Maybe, well, I don't want to critique too much, but, I don't know. Maybe our kids are getting a little too old for the circus too. We'll see. I don't know when we're going to go back, but it's been a year and a half. So there you go. And I've lost track. I think this is number 14 that we've done. So maybe we'll do one more after this, make a nice even 15, and then call it good. So, 33 is from Kaz. Kaz says, tell us about a recent scout experience that went well for you. Well, I think I've talked about them already, but the most recent one was the chess merit badge that they did, and they had a really good time doing that. We had our game night lock-in for the scouts, and they invited friends, and we had an awesome time during that. That was a couple months ago. And, man, the Cub Scouts had a lock-in where they had a lock-in at the local junior high, and they wound up doing, you know, they got their swimming merit badge and their outdoor merit badge, and it was a really good time. Man, what else have we done lately? Oh, I did a bit where we were actually working on some art stuff, and this was with my Cub Scouts again, so this is 11-year-olds. And with the Cub Scouts, we were doing art, and part of it is I have on the virtual reality goggles, I have a little there's a little simulated art museum, and you go in and you're looking around in the VR goggles, and you can see the paintings on the walls, and they only have like three of them that work, but you walk up to the paintings and tap on them, and it lets you step inside the painting and look around. So you can step inside the Mona Lisa and look at what his artist studio, you know, presumably could have looked like at the time. And it was a really cool little experience. So I let them do all that. And then, at the end of that particular session, we got done with all the other stuff we were working on. And so we had, some time. So we just played with the VR goggles and got to show them, you know, here's the roller coaster. Here's the, my favorite, the Face Your Fears adventure where you're at the top of the tall building and this robot trashes the building and carries you off and, really scary. And, we just had a really good time with it. So it was a lot of fun. And I just didn't expect we'd spend so much time with the VR goggles, but you know, everybody loves virtual reality goggles. You can't go wrong with those. And 83, and this is going to be our last one. 83, let's see, also comes from Kaz. Kaz says, Cyberpunk 2077 is coming from CD Projekt Red. I will be buying new hardware to play it on. Will you play it? If you're with me and you have it available, I will play it with you. Sure. But no, I'm not making any plans, on buying anything Cyberpunk 2077. No, that is not something that was even on my radar. So, I don't know. I've never played, I don't even think I've played any of the previous Cyberpunk stuff. So yeah, not my bag. So you know what? One more. That was, I feel like that one was kind of a letdown. Number 8, simply because I don't know enough to be able to participate in that conversation. So I feel bad. Number 8 is from Kyle. Aha. Kyle says, bed, wed, or behead. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or Pope Francis. Wow. Oh, that is, you know, seriously, Kyle, you should have made all of them imaginary and used the Tooth Fairy instead of Santa Claus. That would have worked out better. Let's see. Bed, wed, or behead. Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Pope Francis. I am going to marry Pope Francis. And it will be, it's not a physical thing. I just would like I think he is the most interesting of them. I think he would be a great conversationalist. I think the man is very admirable. I like Pope Francis a lot. So that leaves me with killing, beheading, either Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. I am, you know what? I will bed Santa Claus. I will behead the Easter Bunny. I'm good with that. All right. And that is it. We're all done with our Podomatics for today. So I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS. She's going to give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, Weezer's in the Garage, She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner, and Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget to check out the other proud members of our Nerd Pride network, Angry Geeks Versus and Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatching software you use. Write us a nice review. Those really do make a difference. But if you really want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends, because if you enjoy it, you should be spreading the word and letting other people enjoy it as well. Word of my mouth. Ugh, sorry, I rewrote my end credits here, and for some reason I am just stumbling. It's not even that different. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. There you go. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up. Send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. Now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out onto my Facebook page and my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, post up, hey, I'm recording anything you guys want, post it there, and I will read it off at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right now. First up, starting over at my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, my only response is from Kazmonster, and Kazmonster says, woohoo! So, if you were running a street-level gang of young criminals, what system would you run it on? Well, Shadowrun. As much as I don't like the Shadowrun system, Shadowrun's a great setting, though. I love playing in the Shadowrun system. I really enjoy that. But, you know, I might just do something like Story System and just, which is my own homebrew kind of basic thing. I don't know. Probably doesn't matter, but probably Shadowrun. I mean, look, if I'm going to do a low-level street gang, I'll do it in Shadowrun and let them be terrified. Let them be low-level, minor characters, and yet be in situations where they have to figure out how to get around or deal with really mega-powerful stuff. And it would be kind of cool. It would be almost a horror game. I would enjoy that. Chocolate-covered espresso beans. Give us your opinion. They're all right. I mean, it's not a bad little buzz, I suppose, if you want some caffeine. But I've never actually gone out of the way to actually buy them myself. But there have been times that Yancey will have a few of them in the office, and he'll offer me some. So I've done that. But I could take them or leave them, I suppose. And then, what are you reading? I know a lot of the time you're listening to audiobooks or podcasts, but are you reading anything right now? Right now, sadly, I am not. But I am planning on picking up the Percy Jackson series coming up, because Noah just finished Harry Potter and now he's moving into Percy Jackson. And Eli is actually still working on Harry Potter, but Lisa is also reading the Percy Jackson books. And I thought, you know what? I should try them out. So I'm going to give them a shot. But other than that, no, I am not reading anything right this moment. No. So, all right, that's it for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And now over to Facebook. And the first one is from Sarah Beth. God, I got a lot here. Sarah Beth says, "Hi, Mike. Wish Darks and Nelly happy belated birthdays." Hey, happy birthday, guys. Yeah, Nelly, you were out cruising on your Joko cruise. So we didn't remember to wish you a happy birthday last weekend. So I'm very sorry. But happy birthday. I hope you had an awesome, awesome time. And then also happy birthday, Darks, for everything you do for us. Spectacular. Sarah Beth continues on with, "They are amazingly awesome humans whom I am proud to know." Absolutely. And then from Kyle Jones, Kyle says, "Hey, man, I can't remember which character you picked for the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament. So how'd you do in the first two rounds?" Well, okay, first off, the character I picked was El Grappidoro. And El Grappidoro was a surly, contentious personality who enjoyed lots of trash talk and was very, very mean to the other players. And through skill and intimidation, he is still undefeated after two rounds. So I am looking forward to seeing how this pans out, because I am doing awesome, dude. And I wish we'd actually had a couple more days to sign people up, because I would have mentioned it here, or we could have rounded some people up, because I have, and actually, no, truth be told, El Grappidoro is out. It's double elimination, and I lost both of the first two rounds. I mean, I just went down like a complete baby. It was terrible. And, but it was really fun and really funny. And I'm wishing we had had more people, because I think this would be a lot of fun, with even more people playing. Or if instead of, you know, I would have also liked if each matchup had been best two out of three, just to drag out the drama a little bit. But look, I'm terrible at rock, paper, scissors. I don't know why. I have always sucked at it, and I'm aware of that. I mean, Kyle, anytime I've played rock, paper, scissors as an adult against my brother Kyle, he is in my head from the beginning, and I am terrible at it. He'll beat me two out of three times easily if we play an extended series of them. And so knowing that, a lot of this rock, paper, scissors tournament is intended to be the trash talk, and it's intended to be us dressing up rock, paper, scissors like a, like this huge, you know, pro wrestling style competition or whatever it is. And so, yeah, my entire plan was to come out and trash talk and trash talk and trash talk. And then if I won, you know, I would be absolutely insufferable if I won. But if, as is more likely, I lost, then my plan was to claim that everyone's a bunch of cheaters and they're all out to get me and it's a conspiracy theory, and just be a big spoiled baby about it, which is what I did. So I had a really good time. So I enjoy that. I hope, Kyle, you run another one of those. I know you put in a ton of work for those, though. That was a lot of writing to get those setups going on each round. And so I don't know how you put in that much time, but I really appreciate you doing it. And I look forward to doing another one of these whenever you're ready to start another one. I will be in, maybe be back with El Grappidoro. Maybe not. We'll see. Probably though, because I really like that. I like playing that character. I think that's fun. So, all right. Next up, my phone has locked on me. So let me open it back up. Here we go. Oh, hey, it's from Nelly. And Nelly says, "Oh, I was on a cruise, so I missed the last ones." Yeah, I know you were on a cruise. That's fine. We were all thinking of you. We even mentioned you. So I hope you had a great time. And Sarah Beth comments on that one, says, "Yeah, we missed you." Okay, good. All right, then Nelly says, "Have you heard of a Joko cruise?" Well, yes, I have, because Jonathan Colton was at Concert Against Humanity last year, and they talked about what an awesome time they had on their Joko cruise, and did a little spiel for it, pitched it out in case anyone wanted to join them, which obviously you did, and I'm very jealous. But she explains, it is a cruise with a con on it. Yes, I know, a cruise with all sorts of music and comedy and gaming, tons of gaming. How cool would that be? I was locked on a boat. Oh, don't even tell me who was there. Oh, you're terrible. Terrible. Why would you be so mean to us? I was locked on a boat with Max Temkin, Will Wheaton, and Pat Rothfuss. It was so great. I bet it was. I can't tell you how jealous I am. I mean, yeah, I'm probably not going to go on a Joko cruise, even as jealous as I am, probably not actually going to do it. But I'm very, very jealous that you got to go because that seems so cool. And then she asks, have you been on a cruise before? Yeah, actually, my wife and I went on a cruise for our honeymoon, which was a ton of fun. And it was, I mean, look, it was a cheap little nothing cruise from Dolphin Cruise Lines, and we had a great time. It was really fun, you know, with the buffets and the onboard activities and the shows that we went to every night and the big fancy dinners every night. And then, we did several different activities and tours. When we hit land, we went snorkeling and we saw Mayan ruins. And in Jamaica, we took a canoe trip or a boat trip down the river in Jamaica, and it was just – we had a really awesome time. That cruise was a spectacular vacation, an awesome honeymoon. I love the cruise. But – oh, yeah. And that cruise was a wedding gift from my parents who, as I've mentioned previously on these podcasts, are some of the most awesome people in the world, and I really, really love them. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Oh, that's it. And then I say done, and we're all done. So anyway – it was an awesome – oh, look at that. We even made an hour. I didn't think we were going to. How cool. It's been an awesome week. It was an awesome cast. I appreciate you guys joining me. I love you all, and I hope you come back and see me next week. I'll be here.